It's just kind of cool. I don't have to nag too much because it's usually Heather that's the last one to come in, you know, and I'm driving her nuts. Anyway, I'm going to pray. Then we're going to ask God to do his thing in here, okay? Let's pray. Father, your word is powerful, Lord. Your word is God everything. Lord, you even said that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of your mouth. And God, I pray that your word would have its intended effect this morning, God, that it would do everything you want it to do in our lives, God. Thank you for the fun and the thrill that you gave me getting this ready this week. Thank you for what it's meant to me already, Lord God. And Lord, I'm just asking God that God that would be transmitted, Lord, that would be transferred, God, and all of us would be empowered and strengthened by your word this morning. Amen. I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to answer. Just think about it. Ponder it, you know. Oh yeah, I got to do this first. I got to do my special cool effect here that I got every. There it is. Okay, good. Do you want more powerful prayers? It's funny, you know, when okay, let's find out. How many, is that working, John? Is it going? Okay, we got a new recorder. Yeah, it's cool. How many here, you were brought up Catholic? Put your hand up. Okay, that's more than half, okay? Especially here, Windsor too. In the Catholic Church, and even outside the Catholic Church, they have special prayers, okay? They get all kinds of different prayers, okay? And it kind of breeds an understanding that there are special prayers that will get you more than other prayers, okay? Prayers. Can you say, I get this all the time because I'm a pastor, can you say a prayer for me? Because they figure I'm a pastor, I'm closer to God, I got more of an in, you know? And I'll remember, how many remember, Michael Harris used to do the radio show on CFRA? Michael was a really good friend of mine, okay? And still is. And I remember Michael being in the studio, we were doing a show together, and he said, you gotta say a prayer for me, John, cause my daughter, blah, 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 blah. I said, Michael, God takes your prayers way more seriously than he does mine. Huh? Huh? What? Michael, you hardly ever talk to him. I talk to him all the time. If he hears a prayer from you, he's going to go, whoa, Michael's talking to me. Man, I got to pay attention. Okay? Hey, that's no stretch of scripture. Okay? Jesus said, how many of you, you know, that lose a sheep will not go after, leave the 99 and go after the lost one? His heart is for the lost. When the lost talk to him, it gets his attention. Okay? I'm bringing this up because this whole thing of certain prayers are more powerful, that's a really religious, traditional thing that's not very biblical, okay? When we talk about prayer, would you like more powerful prayers, that's kind of a really dumb question on my part, okay? The whole thing of prayer is for us to be like that with God, okay? And to have him literally, and the only way we communicate to him is through prayer. We talk to him, okay? It's got a religious name to it. It's called prayer. But that's how he invades our space. That's why we surrender more of our lives to him. That's how his power comes through us, mainly through prayer. That's where the connection is, okay? And he intends it to be a connection. It's not a genie. He's not a genie. Oh, abracadabra, alakazam. Oh, it's not working yet. What's the magic? Open sesame. There he goes. Okay. Here we go. No, it doesn't work like that. Okay. That's religious, tradition, mythical junk. Okay. Prayer, like the Bible talks about, and it's something we got to learn. In fact, if we're going to learn what real biblical prayer is, we're going to have to unlearn a lot of stuff that the church substitutes biblical prayer for. So when I ask, I guess a better question is, do you want to see your prayer life become more alive? Do you want to have God revealed more powerfully in your life? Okay? It's my fault. It was a dumb question, Crystal. It doesn't matter. Okay? Look at this. Okay? Luke 11:1. Lord, teach us to pray. That's what the disciples asked. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, it's going to be confession time, because when I was researching this, I had the Holy Spirit making me feel a little bit guilty. And I could tell it was the Holy Spirit, because he wasn't condemning, didn't cut me down, but he was convicting. And then, yeah, I got to remember that. You got to help me remember that. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, look at this. Jesus didn't say in reply, okay? He didn't say, you don't need to be taught, just do it. Okay? He didn't say, just talk to God. He didn't say, you can't get it wrong, because all prayer is good, okay? All prayer is the same. All prayer is accepted. He never said any of that stuff. That is stuff that I would say. That's stuff that I've said. Probably right from here. I meant well, you know? And usually I would go down that road with some of these things because prayer has got this reputation of being so ritualistic and so elaborate. And boy, you just got to get it right. And if you don't pray in Jesus' name and all that other stuff, I know that's important, but boy, sometimes you get so paranoid about praying that people don't even do it. I don't know how to do that. Forget it. Okay? What did he say? What did he say? Instead, he responded by, when you pray, say, that's the same thing as saying, okay, I'll teach you. Okay? When you pray, say. Now, here's a problem. We're gonna, the Lord's Prayer is after this now, okay? And the problem is that some people say, well, that's the magic prayer. Go back that old mentality again. Rub the lamp, you know? Here comes the genie. The Lord's Prayer is a template for just about every other prayer that will come. I mean, it's a good prayer. It's a great standalone prayer. It's probably one of the best standalone prayers if it's your prayer and you really mean it. But I find that more and more, most of my prayer time with the Lord is governed by the principles that are in the Lord's Prayer. There are principles there. And I want to get into it. And remember, it's the greatest stories ever told. So there's a story that illustrates beautifully where we're going here. Okay? Now, he responded by showing them how to pray by telling a story. Okay? Telling a story. Now, I'm going to give you, because the Lord's Prayer is in Matthew. That's where the standard, you know, that we pray and we repeat and we use it at funerals and sometimes we even close our prayer, our meetings with it, okay? That's the standard Lord's Prayer. But Luke has got a version of it as well. And what we're getting here, I'm giving you the full picture of when they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. Because he did in Matthew give them that Lord's Prayer that we all know. But here he does some teaching on it. And this is where a lot of people kind of miss it. So this is the Luke version you're getting of the answer to the question. When you pray, say, and it's a little different, you'll see, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Okay? This is a briefer version. And Luke includes this just to kind of remind them, remember what he said, but he goes on, okay? He's recounting what Jesus taught on another occasion. In fact, most people believe that this was a much more accurate overview of Christ's teaching on prayer. Okay? The version we get in Luke, he's referring to his original prayer right there. He's referring to his original prayer that's in Matthew because he's setting up a story on how they should pray. Okay? And that's our story. You can pray. Now, just a couple things to observe. You ever notice that you can pray the entire Lord's Prayer and you never use these three words? I, me, my. Notice that? This is how you pray. That speaks volumes right there, okay? Because we're always givey, givey, givey. That's where we're born in sin, okay? That's our default. Until the Lord comes in and delivers us, that's what we are, okay? And when we recognize that, he can start doing some work in us. But you think about that. There's no I, me, or my in that template prayer, okay? We got pronouns that are used instead, like our Father, not my Father, you know? Our Father. I have to consider the bride of Christ. I have to consider my brothers and sisters, okay? His will. You know? Our needs are addressed in that template prayer. They are. Okay? Our daily bread. Our need to forgive. Some of us don't think we need that as much, but remember, it's his prayer. He laid out the priorities. This is important stuff, okay? Don't lead us into temptation. Yeah, that's important. But it's us coming to our Father, okay? The message at the beginning is, it's not just about you. It's not just about me, okay? Our Father, lead us not into temptation. Forgive us of our trespasses, okay? He wants us getting along with each other. He knows that the greatest manifestation of the love of God and His presence in our life is how much we love people that are around us. And you know you got God if you can pull that off, because other people are so annoying. They're just a pain in the neck. You know, they never respond the way they're supposed to respond. When you have the love of God, boy, you see people differently. It really changes you. Well, yeah, I don't know about that. Well, yeah, hang with us, okay? And He will reveal Himself to you. If He does that, that's probably one of the most powerful manifestations of the baptism of the Holy Spirit right there, is the love that He gives us for each other. So let's get into the story here. Here's the story, because it comes right after Luke 2:4, okay? This is the whole teaching on how to pray here. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend. Is that difficult for some of you? Suppose you did have a friend. Okay, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight. Better be a good friend. And you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend, it's midnight, okay? They don't stay up and watch Jimmy Kimmel or all those other shows, okay? They go to bed like 7, 8 o'clock, okay? And they're up at 5, 4 in the morning. It's midnight, okay? Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door's already locked, and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, what a great word, eh? Shameless audacity. How many are good at that? Never mind. That's a gift. Somebody said they were gifted at something. Brian said discernment. I got shameless audacity. Okay, here we go. He will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Okay? Now, this is God. There's way more than meets the eye here in that scripture. Way more. Okay, I turned it off because I want you to listen to me now, okay? First of all, hospitality back then had a way higher value in that culture than it does now, okay? And it's the Middle East. Often a traveler would begin his journey around 5 or 6 at night, because they don't want to be traveling in the middle of the heat. You know what? It's how hot it's been this week, okay? A lot of you have been to my place. I push more of the whole thing. I cut that lawn Thursday afternoon in the middle of 33 to heat, and it felt like 40. I thought I was going to die 3 times, okay? I had to take 2 naps in the middle. I was down in water like crazy. I thought I was going to die, okay? In the Middle East, they would often travel. They would start at 5, and sometimes they wouldn't get to their destination at night until late at night. So this is a common thing that happened here. Now, it catches this guy unawares, but hospitality, super important. Because if people didn't have hospitality, like you were watching out for each other, it could be life and death at times. Okay, so this is an important thing. It's not just an annoyance here. You got to establish that. Okay, but here's the thing that people read from that scripture, and you've already thought about this, and you've already thought this about prayer, and I have too. Well, if I keep bugging and bugging and bugging and bugging, I'll get what I want. That's what I'm supposed to do. And you know what the common belief is, and you've heard preachers probably explain it. If you believe that way, you can't get away from a concept of God that thinks He's like a cranky old neighbor. You know? Come on, God. Come on, God. We figure if we pray hard enough, we'll hit on a special prayer that kind of seals it. Ah, got one. Okay. You know? Keep going through it. You read books, how to get what you want in prayer. You watch people on TV that ask for way too much money. This is how you get what you want in prayer. You know? Get the right prayer. Okay? And you got to bug them a lot. If you bug them a lot, you're going to get an answer. And if you can wear God down, okay, oh, here she is again. And it's the same story with the unjust judge. You know, you guys are familiar with that one too. Or you think you can talk him into something, you know? This whole story here, and what I'm going to show you, that's not what it means at all. That is not what it means. And that belief about God holds people in bondage. That belief about God perverts who He really is, and it really messes up our prayers too. Okay, John, where are you going with this? Well, nobody's leaving yet, so that's good. Maybe we'll get to the bottom of this, okay? This is how, excuse me, the Greek and the Roman gods, which was the pervasive, you know, enforced religion, okay, because it was the Greek Empire and their culture spread everywhere, and the Romans, they were too lazy to make their own gods, so they just changed the names of the Greek gods, and they became the Roman gods, okay? Same religion. And that's the way they viewed their gods, okay? They're depicted like that. We don't care about you humans. If you want us to do anything for you, you got to sacrifice, you got to pray, you got to go through all kinds of hoops, and you forget trying to get their attention. You got to be really special to get your prayers down pat to get something done. That was the pervasive concept of God back then. Okay? And along comes Jesus, bridging the gap between God and men, teaching that God is our Father. This is revolutionary stuff. So when Jesus is talking here, and it gets lost in translation, or maybe it's because we're so, you know, used to, you know, saying the right prayers, because religion hasn't helped in translating and interpreting this scripture properly, okay? He's not talking about God like a cranky father, okay? And I'm building it up here, okay, in Matthew 6 and 7, because he said this, and this was specific. He wanted to drive this home. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. I don't want you babbling all the time. I don't want you going on with long prayer. That's not what we're talking about. That's not effective prayer. Best interpreter of Scripture is other Scripture. Okay, so what's Jesus really saying in the story? Okay? If you can get help from a cranky neighbor, this is what he's saying. If you can get help from a cranky neighbor, this is one of these how much more parables. Okay? Carol's so sharp. Okay? This is one of these how much more. If you can get help from a cranky neighbor, how much more will your loving Father take care of you? Okay? He's not saying, bug me, bug me, bug me. Now, he does say at the end of it, you know, seek and you will find, but nothing like until I get the prayer right. Before you even ask, please, we got to, by faith, and if, you know, if you have unbelief, believe and trust that He loves you. And if He's withholding something or making you wait, it's because He's got something better in store. And little kids don't always understand that, okay? And we're to be like children in our faith. Our Father is eager to give. Now listen, you know God is like this, okay? And you know that's why the story is not depicting God as a cranky neighbor, okay? Our word tells us He's eager to give. He's never distant. He never sleeps. He's never bothered by our, quote, disturbances. And is as close as our next breath. That's God, okay? And anything that perverts that image of God, somebody's got the thing translated wrong. And Jesus is using a classical storing technique here. And it's in the parables often. And if you know anything about the culture, He is showing an extreme example here to show, hey, look it, you're going to get justice from even a cranky neighbor. You're going to get justice from even an unjust job. How much more does your Father love you? He's on our side. Well, I'm going through hell. You're not going through anything that He doesn't have total control over. Total! Well, I can't figure it out. You know, if I could figure everything out, I'd be God. But He wants me to know how much He loves me. We need to share our lives with God. Okay? We need to share our lives with God. That means taking every care. We do that. You know, you bang your thumb with the hammer. Ah, God! There's a prayer right there, okay? You know, we talk to Him when we're in trouble, you know? But you need to share with God about all the stuff you're grateful for as well. Okay? For every joy, share it with Him. For every stress, for every concern, He wants us in fellowship with Him. Okay? How many... No, and I've talked about Smith Wigglesworth before, okay? And I think I've told you my connection to Smith Wigglesworth. How many know who this guy is? Put your hand up, okay? An amazing, he was called the Apostle of Faith. And this guy was a plumber in England, and God saved him. And he had about a grade 2 or 3 education. He learned to read by reading the Bible. And this guy had miracles. This guy, people documented, medically documented, people raised the dead, miraculous healings. He could be really unpredictable in the way he did things, okay? And some people thought he was crazy, but everybody, even the people who thought he was nuts, They said, that guy's got something. There's a power on that guy that's just, even people that didn't know the Lord recognized that there was a supernatural power in this guy. Incredible. I think he died around 1945, 1950, around there, okay? My connection with him is that I did the wedding for his grandson, okay? His grandson married one of our spinsters in the St. Catherine's Church. His grandson was 77 years old, and Elsie Stoner was 80 at the time, okay? And I got to do the wedding. It's so cool, okay? Anyway, there's a quote from him there. And people, in fact, there's a book you can buy, Smith Wigglesworth, The Secret of His Power, okay? People that don't know the Lord that well, they thought it was His power, okay? And here's one of his best quotes. I rarely pray more than 20 minutes at a time, but I rarely go 20 minutes without praying. I think there's a secret there. Sharing his life with God as often as possible. If you think God is a cranky neighbor that you have to disturb, you're not going to want to bother him. Guess what? You can't bother him. It's impossible to bother God. Oh, God, here I am again. No, no. Okay? Not like that. Jesus wants to make the meaning of this story we're talking about here clear. So, right after he starts describing God as our over-the-top, abounding in kindness Father, he says this. Now, it's no mistake. You guys have heard the scripture I'm going to throw out here. And it's no mistake the placement of this line he's going to give to people, okay? Because he's driving home the truth. If you can get justice from a cranky neighbor, how much more is God on your side? How much more is God wanting to prove his power and glory to you? Here it comes. It's right after that story. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if you ask for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give gifts to your children, how much more, there's the line, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And isn't that interesting? He didn't say, how much more will the Father give what you need? Give what you, he promised us. No, he wants us to have the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? He wants us to have us. Because the Holy Spirit and him are one, okay? I don't want to get into the details of the Trinity. I can't explain it. I just accept it by faith, okay? But he wants to come in. He wants to share. He loves us. He wants us to share life with him, okay? God is not a grumpy neighbor. He's not even a nice neighbor. He's a loving Father. We have problems grasping that because, you know why? None of us have perfect fathers. Even those that had great relationships with their fathers. On August 25th, okay, I've told you some of this. Maybe I haven't. On August 25th, it's going to be a very special day for me. Because I will be as old as my dad was when he died. On August the 25th, okay? And I've talked about my dad a lot. I had a good relationship with him. But he wasn't perfect. I can tell because I'm at the age now that he was when I used to look up to him and go, wow, this guy's something else. And sometimes I think of my father and go, Dad, how could you be like that? You got to be kidding me, okay? God's our loving Father, but please don't let your concept of your dad put God in a box. He's way more than you can even imagine. But, you know, even messed up dads wouldn't give their kid a rock if he asked for a piece of bread, you know? And Jesus is driving it home. How much more does he love us? That's the key phrase there. The disciples wanted to know how to pray, okay? Jesus first wanted to nail down who they're praying to. Our Father, okay? Devil does his best to work when he can deceive you regarding the nature of God. He doesn't want you finding out what God's really like. He does not want you. Do you know that all the major religions in the world, okay, ours is the only one where we call him Father, okay? The only one, okay? Stands apart. The devil would never do that. The devil doesn't care about a relationship. He wants to distract us from that. Boy, he doesn't want us falling in love with our Father. Okay? Yeah, but I'm still not getting my prayers answered. Yeah. Yep. Not yet. They haven't got them answered yet. I mean, my microwave, we've had our microwave the first one broke down. So we got I've had the exact same microwave for 18 years, okay? I only discovered a feature on it like the last 6 months. And the dial, we got one of these dials where you gotta set the time, you know, like a 1:30, and sometimes you gotta spin forever until finally, okay, 1:30, okay, I'm ready for my cup, bang, okay? I found a feature, there's another button there called the quick button. One touch, 1 minute, two touches, 2 minutes, beep, 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 oh, it's fantastic! Wow! It's been sitting there for 18 years, you know, and I didn't know a feature was there, you know? That's, you know? God can do a better job than the microwave can, but you can't see the timer. Okay? You can't see, we don't always like his answers. But Jesus says, and it's not about keep on bugging him and bugging him and bugging him. No, Jesus says keep going, keep asking, don't stop. And he ends the story that way. Why? Because he loves us and wants to be in fellowship with us. That's the only way we get fellowship with God, is to be yakking with him often, okay? Talking to him about everything, sharing with him about everything. You'll find your faith gets a little bolder the more time you spend with God. We won't pray that way because we want what we want. You know? Husbands, you know you do this, you know? We get stuff out of our wives. Be kind, you know? I'm going to build some capital here, you know? Like, nah, you can't bring that into your relationship with God, okay? We want what we want, and that's not Christ-likeness. And the only way that's going to change is if you hang around Jesus a lot, and if we're talking to him, and I don't mean to be hard on you, because we're all struggling with that, aren't we? Look what Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything. Okay, I may as well leave right now. That just slays me right out, right there, okay? Oh, man. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God. Look at this. It doesn't say you're going to get that Cadillac. The marriage is going to come together. Your wayward son is going to come home. The disease is going to be gone. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Now, he does all that other stuff, too. Otherwise, we wouldn't ask him for it. And he challenges us to believe. And he rebuked the disciples for not believing. But look what he says. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. How come I feel peace? There's no reason for me to feel this good. Everything's falling apart, you know? But I feel good. Well, that's got to be the peace of God. Because if you don't understand it, then you can tell it's the peace of God. That doesn't make it any less tangible, any less powerful. In fact, when you're feeling that way in the middle of hell, you probably got the real deal. Well, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What's it going to guard us against? You giving up on Jesus. You're walking away from Jesus. He knows how tough it can be. And he can give you, in the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear no evil. Okay? Most people don't think of that because, you know, the valley of the shadow of death, that sounds very poetic and, well, how bad can it be? You know? It can be really, 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 really bad. Well, why do we have to keep asking? That's a good question. That's a really good question. How come we got to keep asking? Well, we need bread every day, right? We need to forgive and love always. If you think you're going to spend the rest of your life never having to forgive again, okay? No, you're going to need God's help there. We need protection from evil all the time, okay? Have you noticed temptation and evil is getting more, like, attractive? My goodness, like, wow, you know? I need God. We need God, okay? It's never one and done, you know? All right. Answer all your problems, bang, see you when you die. He's not like that. Okay? Not like that at all. I'm always looking for an excuse to get my granddaughter in my slides here, okay? So, everybody together. Okay? Now, Ellie, that's my granddaughter, Ellie, there's my son Ben. How crazy would it be for her parents to turn over, 250, 300 grand to her and, you know, hire out providers and everything and said, take off. See you when you're 19. We might show up at your wedding, you know? Come on! God's our Father, okay? He got a lot of teaching he wants to do. He wants to live his life through us. He wants to be in fellowship with us. He wants us, by the time we get to heaven, I'm going to see my dad! Can you imagine booking into heaven and they're trying to show your mansion and you're saying, I don't care about a mansion, I want to see Jesus! I want to see my dad, I want to, you know, that's everything, even more than my loved ones. You can be so in love with him that he can have that effect on you. And he desires that. Okay? He's wanting to train us. He's wanting to guide us and prepare us while enjoying a loving relationship with us in every facet of life. And prayer, too bad it's called that, but that's the conduit of it all. That's the connection of all of it. Okay? This whole, and you know what? I don't want you to get the idea. Smith Wigglesworth said, you know, I don't go 20 minutes without praying. You know, I may only pray for 20 minutes. This is just me. It's personal. I have to have times where I'm alone with God, or I got my Bible, I got my journal, and I got maybe 2 or 3 hours ahead of me, okay? You are going to touch God in ways in those times that will give more meaning and strength and power to the times when we're on the 417 and we turn the radio off because God wants to talk to us, or we want to talk to God about stuff, about everything. This whole episode, okay? The whole episode, the whole teaching that Jesus gives in Luke here, it ends, okay, with a plea for us to desire the Holy Spirit. How much more does he want to give you his Spirit? Okay? The whole thing ends with that. I want, in other words, he may as well have said, I want to live in you. Not just live in you. I want to live in you and I want to show you how powerful I am in you. I want to show how powerful I am in love. Okay? In heartaches, in some of your most painful lessons, I want to be there and I want you to know my strength in the midst of it. So you're able to say, yeah, things aren't going the way I want them to go, but Jesus is greater than he's ever been in my life. Okay? Wow. That's good stuff, boy. That's the real deal. I want to be there in conquering power with you, okay? No victory without a battle, okay? No victory without a battle. I came across this. I like this, okay? Oh, you ever see, hopefully you get a slide and sometimes they're branded in your brain, okay? I want this one to brand in your brain. There you go. Okay? Close your eyes. Father, I don't have maybe sometimes, God, I get a word of knowledge, but God, I don't have that gift. So, Lord, when I say, Lord, maybe it is a word of knowledge. I don't know, but God, you know, Lord, God, that this message this morning was right in people's kitchen this morning. It's right where they live. And God, nobody could preach to me and nobody could show me how loving you are in my life. I can't do that for your bride here. You got to do that one-on-one for them, God. And God, I'm trusting you will please take your word and multiply it in our lives, God. I don't think there's anybody in this room that knows how wonderful you can really, really be, God. There's more. There's more to your love. There's more to your care. There's more to your power. You can do more miraculous things. And Lord, you say when you taught us to pray, thy will be done. And Lord, it's not about you getting your way. Lord, you know what makes us tick, and you know, God, that if you can have your way in our lives, we're going to be more thrilled than with anything we could have, God, specifically asked for. And yet you ask, Lord, and you tell us, keep asking, keep asking, keep talking, keep sharing your desires. God, you know how many times I share my desires with you. Half of them, maybe even 90% of them are out of whack, but I'm going to still share them with you because I don't know if they're out of whack. Only you do. So I'm going to talk to you about them in the meantime, God. And I'm going to believe, and I'm going to trust. God, make it so in our lives, God. Your Holy Spirit, do your work that I can't, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Nobody looking around. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you have never given him your life. Well, yeah, I ask God to forgive me my sins. No, I mean you invite him in as Lord, and he becomes Lord of your life. You surrender your life to him. Jesus, I want you Lord of my life. Most of you I know, most of you have done that, but if you've never done that, and I'm not talking about a rededication now, I'm talking about I've never done that before, and you want to make that right, and if you're here this morning, put your hand up right now. I will not center you out, I will not embarrass you, we don't do that, okay, but I want to do that in my life. Put your hand up real quick and down real quick, okay, good, okay, we do that most services, because we know how powerful it is and how important it is. God, this bunch knows you. They got history with you. Lord, they've started the journey with you. God, don't let us get distracted. Show us how wonderful you are. Show us how great you are. Kind of a scary prayer, Lord God, because sometimes you show us how great you are by, you know, giving us peace that passes understanding through going through hell. I don't know, God. They're your lives. And God, take away our fear of surrendering to you, God. Oh, God, the greatness you want to do in lives here, God. You want to do great things, God. Great things. Great things, God. And we're going to choose to believe you. And when it's hard, we're going to ask you for help to believe, God. And God, we're also going to do that for each other. We're going to help each other believe. We're going to encourage each other and cheer one another on. We're not airheads. We know how serious this situation is. We're not in denial. But God, no matter how bleak it looks, you're in charge. You've always been in charge. And we want that Spirit living in us. And we open ourselves to it this morning, God, again. And we'll be doing it in 10 minutes from now, about a half hour from now, maybe 3 hours from now, tomorrow, throughout the week. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Amen.